I want to go ahead and welcome all of our campuses right now. We just want to welcome all of you at all of our locations today, and we're going to be doing something a little bit different today. As I was in my prayer time yesterday, God really spoke to me a specific word for today, and I had a message planned, and you know, I'm going to talk a little bit from that, but as I was in prayer yesterday, God really spoke to me a word for our church, I believe, in this season. And so that's what I want to do. I want to share that with you today. And I'm not really sure kind of where this is going to go. We had an incredible first service here at Celebration, but it's just kind of one of those services. I want to welcome all of our guests and everyone. Maybe you're visiting with us for the first time. This is a little bit different from how we do things, but I'm just trying to follow the Lord here. And, you know, I believe that if we follow God, we're going to meet with God and great things are going to happen. How many of you can say amen to that? So I want to, this was in our daily Bible reading yesterday. It's out of Deuteronomy 13. And in verse 1, it says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them,' then you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Look at verse 4. "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst." So you shall put away the evil from your midst. And this is what God spoke to me in prayer yesterday to share with our church today. Listen, we're heading into a great new season. We're talking about taking ground. And what God told me to share with everyone today is this very scripture, the core of this scripture right here, which says, "You shall put away the evil from your midst." Listen, if you're going to experience all that God has for you, you have to put away the evil from your life. And you know, this scripture out of Deuteronomy, it talks about, you know, if there's basically this false prophet that's telling you to do things that are against God's commandments, you know, put that to death. But really, as we look at this in the New Testament light, what this is talking about here, if there's anything, the source of anything that is pulling you away from your relationship with God, any addiction, any habit, any sin, listen, I'm tired of people destroying their lives with sin. I'm tired of seeing men destroying their lives, destroying their families, because they won't repent, because they won't put away the evil from their lives. I'm tired of seeing young people, man, go down these paths of destruction simply because they won't put away the evil, simply because they won't repent. They know what the right thing to do is, but they just won't do it. They won't hold fast to God. They won't fear God. And you know, here at Celebration Church, we preach grace all the time, and we talk about the mercy of God all the time, and we talk about, you know, having an accepting atmosphere, and that's why God's blessed us so much and we reach so many people. And you know, it's really the heart of Jesus. And you see Jesus in the Gospels, you know, and he's forgiving the woman caught in adultery, and he's constantly walking around and forgiving people and things like that. But you know, every now and then you'll notice that Jesus will kind of engage a crowd, and he'll say something like this. He'll say, "But you know, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And it's so, so important, church, that we understand, yes, God loves us, and yes, there's the grace of God. The grace of God will always keep us, but it is obedience that moves you forward. And if you, this is the real thing. We're talking about taking ground, and yeah, we're going to take the land. As we take the land, you know, God's going to take ground in our life. This is the real work of taking ground. Are you willing to get into your heart and really uproot those weeds? Those things that are pushing you away from God. As it talks about here, it's the evil that is enticing you and pulling you away from God's best for your life. And here's what I believe in this next season. You know, for the last decade, the word of the Lord to the church has been be relevant. Get the religion out. Get all the religious glaze out and all that kind of stuff. Be relevant. Engage your community. Be a church without walls that is able to get into the community. And it's a place where people like to come, that it's attractive and all that stuff. Be relevant. And that's very, very important. Being relevant is one of the values here at Celebration. But in this next generation, the church is going to have to go from just being relevant to being revolutionary. If we're going to see revival in this next generation, if we're going to see a church like the book of Acts that's not just engaging the community, but is going from being attractional to transformational, it's going to take people that are willing to put away the evil from their life, to truly repent, to get set on fire by the power of God, and get out there and be an example for the freedom that Jesus bought for us on the cross. I'm asking you, church, will you put away the evil from your life today? It is the word of the Lord to our church, and if you'll do that, I believe that God is going to supernaturally come in and give you a fresh freedom, give you a breakthrough. Many of you have been in a spiritual recession. I believe that's going to end today, as you understand the power of confession. You end a spiritual recession by putting into practice the act of confession. Will you just be seated for a few moments here today? Let me give you a scripture out of 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is a very foundational, familiar passage of Scripture to most of us Christians. And here's kind of the way that we view sin and we view evil. You know, we all struggle and we all have issues and we all have weaknesses and things like that. And so kind of the way that we think about sin and evil, we think, well, okay, you know, I sinned, I made a mistake or whatever, so God, I'm going to confess to You and I'm going to get forgiven. And many of us know that scripture. I know it by heart. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that we have a God that forgives us of all of our sins if we confess? And so we put that scripture into practice and we confess our sins to God. However, confession in the New Testament or biblical confession is very different from the way our modern culture views confession. In our modern culture, we look at confession is like it's acknowledgement or it's admitting. Somebody gets caught doing something, he confesses. He says, yes, I did it. But biblical confession is not just admitting or acknowledgement. Biblical confession implies repentance, restitution, and restoration. Biblical confession implies many times more than just confessing to God, but also confessing to those who you have wronged. Look at James 5:16. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Well, Stovall, I thought I'd just confess my sins to God, right? But look what it says here in James 5:16. It says, confess your trespasses, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. So we confess to God for forgiveness, but there's times when we need to confess to one another so that we can be healed. In other words, confession many times, it's more than just us confessing our sins to God, but it also implies that there are some times when we need to confess our sins to one another. See, here's what confession does. Some of us, we have secrets. We have a habit, we have a sin, we have something that we cannot break. It is a dark secret. And because of that secret or because of that sin, even though you're 1 John 1:9, you're confessing to God. And God, yes, he's forgiving you. It's not a matter of heaven and hell. You're not healed. There's still a secret. There's still a sin. Here's what confession to others does. Confession, it breaks the cycle of sin. When secrets are exposed to the light, they lose their power. And true biblical confession requires repentance. That means a change of mind and change of action. It requires restitution and it requires reconciliation. Listen, if you put into practice true confession to God, and in some cases, whether it's a secret, whether it's addiction, whether it's someone that you're wrong, confession to other people, I'm telling you that secret will come to the light. The light will expose the darkness, and the power of that sin, the cycle of destruction that secret has been producing in your life, how it's been eating you from the inside out, it will be broken in Jesus' name. If we don't do that, what we're going to experience is guilt. And I'm telling you, there is a guilt epidemic in the body of Christ. Too much of the church, because we're not putting into practice confession, we're carrying guilt, and we're walking around in a spiritual recession. Yes, we're coming to church. Yes, we're going through the motions. But on the inside, there's this guilt. Guilt can be so destructive in your life. Guilt leads to shame, and people cannot change in shame, which is why people that have secrets and they're carrying that guilt, they're always repeat offenders. And you can never seem to get free from it. Guilt is an emotion that we experience when we do something that we perceive as wrong. God designed us with a conscience where we can cooperate with His Holy Spirit to lead moral lives that produce blessing and life in our lives. But when we violate those things, when we do something that we perceive as wrong, there's a guilt, there's a violation on the inside. And so the first thing we do is John 1:9, we go to God, we confess to God. Now we get forgiveness, and many times much of that guilt is gone. However, God gives us forgiveness, but many times it's the confession to one another, James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Being forgiven is one thing, being healed is another thing. And what confession does is it breaks the cycle of sin. It renders powerless that secret that you had when that secret comes out of darkness and into the light. Okay, so when, if we confess to God our sins, when should we confess to other people? Well, an easy one that we should all know, if we wrong someone, we not only need to confess to God, but we need to confess to that person how we've hurt them or stolen from them or how we've wronged them. There's a story of Zacchaeus out of the Gospel of Luke. Remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the sinner, all his buds were the notorious sinners. And he receives Jesus, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. Okay, so Zacchaeus is forgiven, right? So you'd think that'd be enough, right? Yet something was on the inside of Zacchaeus. And he knew, okay, I'm forgiven, but if I want to get healed, I've got to take it to the next step. And Zacchaeus said, you know what, Jesus? Anyone that I have wronged, in his case, he stole from people, he cheated people. Anyone that I have done wrong, I'm going to go back to him. See, restitution brings reconciliation. True repentance produces restitution that produces reconciliation. He says, I'm going to go back to him. I'm not only going to give back to him what I stole from him, I'm going to give back to him four times as much. Can you imagine the person? Imagine this. Imagine the person who was all bitter at Zacchaeus, angry at Zacchaeus, hated Zacchaeus. Imagine when Zacchaeus came back to that person and he went up to that person. He humbled himself. Maybe he thought it would be a little bit embarrassing. But you know what? He was willing to risk the pain of embarrassment because he knew the pain of guilt was a lot worse. He goes back. Can you imagine if you're that person that he's stolen from, done you wrong, mistreated you, maybe stolen from you from years. You know that he's doing it, lying about it. And he goes back, and Zacchaeus goes back to him. Imagine if you're that person. He says, you know, I'm so sorry. I confess to you. I've confessed to Jesus, but I need to confess to you. I've stolen from you. This is the amount I'm stolen, and I'm not only giving that back to you, but I'm going to repay you four times as much. And maybe he had it all. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just gave him back some, and he said, you know, when I get it, I'm going to get it to you, though. Can you imagine that person on the receiving end? Can you imagine how they, watch, here's the thing. See, you don't understand. Many times your confession is not only for your healing, it's for the other person's healing. Can you imagine how that person would feel? The bitterness would be gone. Do you see what I'm saying? When a secret comes to the light, the cycle of sin is exposed, and that sin and all the bitterness and all that stuff that goes with it, it is totally broken by the power of God. Zacchaeus is healed, and the other person is healed. We don't understand how powerful confession is. So there's, if we've wronged someone, if we've lied about someone or spoken evil about someone to someone else, let me help you out. You don't need to go to the person that you have spoken evil about necessarily, but you do need to go to the person who you spoke to. You see what I'm saying? The person that you said the evil things to about the other person. I remember one time I just got done preaching, and this guy comes up to me and says, Stovall, I just want to tell you how sorry I am. Man, I've said some lies about you. I've spoken a bunch of evil. I've spoken some lies about you. I've said some really bad things about you to a bunch of other people. I just want to let you know how sorry I am. Bye. Dude, I wish you wouldn't have told me. Don't tell me. Go out there and tell all these other people that you told these lies to or you spoke evil of me. Do you see? Restitution, it goes to the person. It makes things right. You might think that the person won't care, that the person will hate you. Listen, none of that matters. The Bible says this, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Yes, you get forgiveness from God, but I'm telling you, the power of confessing to someone else, there's a healing that God brings into your life that will only come when you put into practice true biblical confession. What are some other examples of confessing to someone, maybe a close friend or your spouse or something like that? I can remember there's been a couple of times in my life where it wasn't that I wronged someone, but even after I went to God and I said, okay, God, I repent of this, I'm sorry, ask you to forgiveness. After that, I can remember it was like I still, this thing just was kind of nagging at me. I just couldn't get the guilt, it was nagging at me. And as I just kept processing it, God was like, no, you need to tell someone. You need to confess this also to someone else. So I remember one instance, I called one of my pastor friends. I got a great group of pastors that I'm accountable to. I can tell them anything. They can tell me anything. I called them. I said, look, I don't know if you're going to think this is a big deal or not or whatever. And I've asked God for forgiveness, but I just feel like God's telling me I need to confess this to someone, and I want to confess it to you. So I confessed it to him. Man, he prayed for me. Can I tell you, right then, that burden, that guilt, everything just lifted right in. My spiritual confidence was restored. See, that's what guilt does. It erodes your spiritual confidence. It eats you from the inside out. There's been times with Carrie where before I've gone to Carrie, man, I've already asked God forgiveness, but I'm like, Carrie, you know, I don't even know if you're going to think this is a big deal or not, but I just feel like I need to tell you this. And I confess to her, and there's the healing comes just like that. So even if it's something that maybe for other people or for, it's like, well, I should just tell this to God. I didn't really wrong anybody. If there's a nagging, a guilt, a burden there, that's God telling you this. Look, I want to heal you of this. There's a deeper healing that needs to take place. I want you to confess this to someone else. Confess your faults one to another that you may be what? healed. Healed. I'm telling you, the body of Christ, we are walking around lame and powerless because we're keeping those secrets and we're allowing the guilt from our past mistakes, our habits, and our sins to corrode us from the inside out. God's saying, if you're going to go from being relevant to revolutionary, you've got to put into practice the act of confession. Listen, church, God wants you free. God wants you healed. God has a better day for you. But if you're going to really take ground in your life, you have to be willing to do the work and step out in faith and really uproot some of those weeds that gets in our heart. Will you put the evil away from you today? Will you be healed? I remember just a few weeks ago, a guy was, I was just over there worshiping. It was during the altar time. And he came down to me. He was in tears. And he came down to me and he's just like, Pastor, I got to confess something to you. And so I was expecting, you know, like this big, major, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just, I'm thinking, man, something horrible's happened. Because this guy's a leader in our church, great guy, I know him. He comes down to me. He says, Pastor, I haven't been tithing. He says, I've been withholding the tithe. He said, I'm so sorry. Just weeping. You can see God on him. So I'm thinking in my heart, see, I'm thinking just in the natural, I'm thinking, well, man, I'm glad you're telling me. But and I prayed for him and everything like that. But, you know, in kind of my mind, that's kind of one of those things. Well, yeah, you just repent to God and start tithing again. You know, you don't really need to confess that to someone. But see, but for him, there was something going on in his heart. He was carrying a burden. And God was like, for this, don't just tell me. I need you to go confess to someone else. Only God knew what was going on in his heart with fear or greed or whatever it was. And we have to be sensitive to those sins, those things, that evil. When God says, put the evil away, here's what it means. It means true confession. We repent. We restore. There's restitution. There's some of you, you're going to need to go to some people after this service and make things right. Some of you, to be healed, you're going to have to step out and not just confess to God, but confess to somebody else. Put the evil away. You know, it goes on to say, as I just wrap up right here, it goes on to say, James 5, 17, 18, right after the confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. It goes on in 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Everybody say rain. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I believe it's important we see the context of confess our faults one to another so that we may be healed. And then there was this season where there was this no rain on the earth, but then he prayed, confess your faults and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he prayed, and then the rain came again on the ground and it produced its fruit. We kicked off this Taking Ground series. Remember what I talked about? Where he reigns, he reigns. Where he, R-E-I-G-N-S, where Jesus reigns as Lord, he reigns, R-A-I-N-S. And for many of you, you've been in a spiritual recession. Your ground in your heart and in your life, it has had no rain. You've been in a spiritual recession because of your lack of true confession. And God is saying, if you will confess your sins, not just to him, but in certain cases to one another, you will be healed and God will send the rain back in your life and bring you to that new place of spiritual blessing. Remember John the Baptist at the River Jordan? The Bible says all the people came to John the Baptist. Remember the guy that made the way for repentance, made the way for Jesus, taught us what repentance was all about, true repentance. Restitution, restoration. The Bible says all the people came to John the Baptist. They came to the River Jordan confessing their sins. And it's not just a one-time deal, but it's a practice that we need to get used to in the body of Christ. Those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. How do you know how to restore somebody if you don't know what they need to be restored from? So here's what we're going to do at this service. We have a lot of time left. This service is not going to take over an hour. We've only been in church for about 40 minutes right now, and I want to give a good 15 to 20 minutes to this part of the service. I want to make this like a River Jordan. I want to make this just like an open heaven where Jesus, He's here through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can come confessing our sins. We're putting the evil away from our lives so that we can say yes to God's best and get out. You can get out of the spiritual recession that you're in. Yes, we're forgiven, but man, the church needs to be healed. People need to be healed. And this is what God said. God says the way to be healed from that, to break the power of guilt, to break all that, it's not just confessing to Him, 1 John 1:9. It's confess your faults to one another. So here's what we're going to do. During this last time, part of the service, we're going to have our normal stations open. We're going to have communion open. We're going to have the tithe boxes are at the communion areas as well, where you can bring your tithe. Maybe some of you have been withholding your tithe like that guy was telling me about. But as we do this, we're also going to have the Celebration Connect areas open. If you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, you've been away from God for a long time. But we're also going to have all the altars open, and at the communion stations, let me tell you what we're going to have. We're going to have pastors and prayer leaders. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to be right to the right down here. We're going to have other pastors over here down there. We're going to have pastors and prayer leaders that if you need to come, if you need to confess, we want you to confess. You're at a safe place here in Celebration Church. You can be as general or as specific as you want. I had so many people come down confessing to me, confessing. We have prayer partners just confessing. They needed to unburden themselves. And the power of that guilt was broken, and they walked out of here a changed person. So we're going to be up here. Some of you are maybe here with a friend, or you're here with your spouse. Maybe there's something that you need to confess to them, or you want to, they would be a safe person for you to confess that to. Some of you kind of need to confess to someone or confess to God, and in that confession, God's going to say, okay, now go back and make it right with this person today. Send them an email, a phone call, a something. Church, we got to go from being forgiven to being healed. We've got to go from being relevant to being revolutionary. God wants you to break free forever from the power of guilt and come into that new season that He has for your life. And I believe when you get out of that spiritual, it affects everything, your family, your finances, everything. It'll affect every other area of your life. And many of us today, listen to me, you need to repent. You need to repent, not acknowledge, not admit. You need to repent. You're on a pathway of destruction. Put the evil away and fear the Lord your God. He loves you. Father, we thank You for Your word today. God, at all of our locations, Lord, I thank You for the courage and the boldness that You've given me to say what I feel that You wanted me to say today, God. I feel that this is a word from You for every person here at Celebration at all of our locations today. For those watching online, Lord, we are to put the evil away from our lives. And God, if we put into practice the act of confession, it's going to break the power of that sin. It's going to break the power of guilt and shame that goes with it. And people are going to come into a whole new place of spiritual freedom, joy, and breakthrough. How many of you would just say, you'd say, Stovall, I need to put into practice true confession today. I need to confess to God. I might need to confess to others. I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. Put them up high. Hands are going up all over the place. Listen, do not be embarrassed. The pain of guilt is so much greater than maybe the pain of a little embarrassment that you might think. But you know what I've found? When you confess things, you think they're a big deal to other people. They're like, man, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, let me help you. Let me pray for you. We're all in this thing together. Put those hands down. How many of you would say this? You'd say, Stovall, I'm away from God. I need to totally surrender my life to Jesus today. I need his forgiveness and his joy in my life. I want you to raise a hand right now wherever you are. Hands are up all over the place. Okay, look up here. Look up here. All of our locations, look up here. So many hands were raised. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to put into practice what God's doing in your heart today. We're going to go into this time of communion. We're going to go in this time of financial giving, and we're also going to go into a time of prayer. This is going to be one big altar call. I want those connect areas lit up. I want to turn those lights on. If you raised your hand to surrender your life to Jesus and made a fresh start with God, I want you to make sure that you get to those lit up areas where we can just give you some free resources that'll help you in your fresh start with God. I'm going to be down here. You can come to me. You can come to other pastors. We're going to have prayer leaders all down here that you can come if you need to confess. The altar's going to be open if you just want to get with God. As you take communion today, do it differently. Do it with the attitude of confession. Confess to Jesus and then appreciate that juice with which represents his blood that was shed for you so that you can be forgiven. And the bread that you take represents his body that was broken for you so that you can be healed. But to access that forgiveness and healing, we have a part to play. Let's put away the evil and let's put into practice the act of confession. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet with us over these next 15 minutes, God. Lord, as we go into this time of worship, Lord, I ask for an open heaven. God, help people be real and transparent. Surrender to you. God, confess their sins to you. Confess their sins to others or pastors up here where it's appropriate, God. Lord, I thank you for all the people surrendering their lives to you at all of our campuses today. Lord, we are going to break the power of guilt by putting into practice the act of confession, and we are putting away the evil from our lives because we love you and fear you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.